meanwhile, in the heavenly place. Indra is the position of the person in charge of the heavenly planets. He became very proud. One day when he was being worshipped, all the junior demigods were giving him aarti, offering him many praises and paraphernalia. In the back door came the guru of the demigods, Brihaspati. Just like if someone senior to me comes and I'll have to stand up and give them the Vyasa-san, what a terrible thing. Indra is being worshipped by all of the heavenly planets. When his guru came in, Indra was thinking in the back of his mind, now I'll have to give the big seat to him. Everyone will say, Indra Tumari, Brihaspati Tumari, Jai Jai Ho. So Indra, desirous of his own worship, pretended not to see his guru. And Brihaspati, who is an all-knowing person, could immediately understand, oh, now Indra, he has forgotten his dependence on the spiritual master, so I will forget him. Sometimes people achieve great position by the mercy of the guru, but they become ungrateful. So there's a famous story. One mouse was being troubled by the local village cat. If the mouse went to the spiritual master, Gurudev, please be merciful to me. I'm too much troubled by the tabby down the road. The sadhu blessed him, become a cat. Some days after that cat came, Gurudev, the village dog, is always trying to chew on me. Please be kind to me. The sadhu grazed him, he became a dog. After a few days, the dog came, Gurudev, one tiger is there trying to eat me. The guru said, become a tiger. Then as soon as he became a tiger, then he felt very hungry. He looked. Gurudev was rather corpulent, a little chubby. He began licking his chops and approaching the spiritual master. Then the guru became angry. You rascal. My mercy, you became a tiger, and now you want to harm me? Puna musaka bubaka. Again, become a mouse. And again, he was reduced to a mouse. So someone, sometimes by the grace of the spiritual master, one may achieve fame, position, knowledge. But if you are so much ungrateful, you use that against the spiritual master instead of using it for his seva, then what will happen, Radhika? Puna musaka bhuvaka. Again, you go to the same position you were before. So when Brihaspati took away his mercy, immediately the demigods became very worried. They needed a replacement guru. So they went to the temple and they found Vishvarupa. Vishvarupa was quite young, but he was very, very learned. Therefore, the demigods requested him to become their spiritual master, but Vishvarupa declined. I am junior to you in every way, then how I can become your spiritual master? The demigods gave so many arguments and convinced him. But Vishvarupa, one problem was there. He was from mixed parentage. Means his mother was from, his father was from the demigods, but his mother was from the daityas, the demons. The demons means they have great material opulence, but they do not respect the position of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Vishvarupa agreed, and he was performing sacrifice on behalf of the demigods. And one day, Indra was listening carefully. What's he doing? Indra, swaha, Mali Maharaj, swaha. Understand? He was offering one oblation on behalf of the demigods, but because his mother was, he was from mixed parentage, he was secretly offering oblations to the demons with the other spoon. Immediately Indra became very angry, you traitor, and cut off his three heads. So the father of Vishvarupa, his name was Twasta Rishi. When he heard that his son had been killed by Indra, he became most furious. He said, I'll perform a sacrifice, and from the sacrifice I'll produce a very fearsome person who will be the great enemy of Indra, who will kill Indra. As Twasta Rishi was performing his oblations, on the last mantra he made a mistake. In the last mantra you chant, that means the fulfillment of your desire, hopefully. Like when Thakur Bhaktivinoda our spiritual master, spiritual master, spiritual master, spiritual master, spiritual master. He was in charge of the Jagannath Puri temple. The king of Jagannath Puri was caught by Thakur Bhaktivinod embezzling so much money from the temple. Therefore, Thakur Bhaktivinod punished him. How? You have to feed Jagannath 56 times a day. And of course, in no time, the king's treasury was completely emptied. The king became furious. He tried to do some black magic against Thakur Bhaktivinod. For 1 month, he called some devious brahmanas to perform a sacrifice for the death of Thakur Bhaktivinod for 1 month. And at the end of 1 month, when the last offering will be put into the fire, then that time the son of the king died when that last offering was put in. It says if a crow curses a cow, does the cow have a problem? No. If someone inferior curses someone who is superior, that curse will not work. Therefore, Twasta Rishi, as he was performing the yajna to produce an enemy of Indra, he made a mistake in the pronunciation of the last mantra. Instead of saying Indra Satru, I'll produce an enemy of Indra, he pronounced a long A instead of short A, Indra Satru. A Satru means friend. As he chanted the last, understand Prem? As he chanted the last mantra, I'll produce someone who will be the friend of Indra, the well-wisher of Indra. So from that yajna came a huge demon. That demon's name was Chitraketu. Sorry. Vritrasur. There, Vritrasur was empowered by the austerity of Twasta Rishi. They had a big fight with the demigods, a big rumble on the beach. Vritrasur, all the demigods threw their weapons at Vritrasur. He simply opened his mouth and ate them all. Then he began just by his feet to trample the demigods. The demigods began to wail, it's Armageddon, it's Armageddon. Armageddon out of here. The demigods ran for shelter. Then they thought, what can we do? This Vritrasur is so powerful, he will finish all of us. Therefore, the demigods took shelter of the Supreme Lord, Narayan. The demigods are devotees, but they're not completely pure devotees. They have some mixed interest. The difference between the demigods and the demons, they both have great amount of material enjoyment, but in times of trouble, the demigods take shelter of the Lord, but the demons do not. Therefore, all the demigods went and prayed to Lord Narayan. And after some time, Lord Narayan appeared directly before them. Thus, the Supreme Lord appeared in their hearts and directly before their eyes also. Surrounding the Lord were his 16 personal energies. The Lord was distinct from his devotees. They have the same forms as him, except the Lord has some characteristics separate from his associates. Only the Lord wears the Kastuba jewel. Only the Lord has the mark of Srivats on his chest. Therefore, when the demigods saw the beautiful form of Lord Narayan, they fell on the ground and offered prayers. Namaste Yagyaviryaya Vayase Uttate Mama. Namaste Astashakraya Namas Supuru Hutaya. All glories to the Supreme Person. You only give the results of sacrifice. You are the time factor that destroys everybody. O you who possess unlimited names and forms, we offer our obeisances to you. Om Namaste Bhagavan Narayana Basudevadi Purusha Maha Purushaya Mahananubhava Paramamangala Paramamangala Paramakalyana Paramakarunda Kakevala Jagat Guru Adaloiki Kanata Sarvesvara Lakshminata Paramahamsaya. They offered many, many prayers. O Narayan, O Basudev, O original person, O most exalted person, you are welfare personified, you are the supreme benediction, you are supremely merciful, you are changeless, you are the support of the cosmic manifestation, you are everything, you are realized by the topmost of perfected sannyasis. It is you only who propagate the path of Bhakti Yoga, therefore you are also Parivrajakacharya. Hey Lord, you have no material body. You need nothing from us. You are the cause of the material cosmic manifestation, and you also supply the ingredients of the creation. You create, maintain, and annihilate everything within yourself. Nonetheless, although you appear engaged in material activity, you are transcendental to all material qualities. Many prayers they offered. And finally, they offered a few hints of why they were praying. Hey Lord, just like a rope can appear to be a snake towards an ignorant person, in the same way you remove the fear from everybody's heart, we are most troubled by this. Britasur. Hang on. Many, many prayers they offered. Tri Bhuvanatmana Bhavana Trivikrama Tri Narayana Tri Lokamano Haran Ubhava. O Lord, you are the Lord of threes. Sattva, Raja, and Tama, ignorance, passion, and goodness, you are beyond that. The lower planetary systems, the middle planetary systems, and the upper planetary systems, you are also above that. You are the Lord of threes. You are the all-attractive Lord. You are also the surrendered. You are the protector of the surrendered souls. We are therefore surrendered to you. Therefore, O Lord, coming to the main point, hint, hint. O Lord Krishna, please annihilate. They offered many, many prayers to him. You are the omniscient Lord, therefore you know why we have approached you. Your lotus feet are the shade which gives shelter to all suffering from material tribulations. Therefore, please give us relief from our current distress. We are very much troubled by the son of Twasta, Britasur, who has already swallowed all our weapons, all our paraphernalia for fighting, all our strength, and all our enthusiasm. Ramchandra Prabhu ki jai. Therefore, the demigods offered many prayers. Please relieve us from the trouble caused by this big demon, Britasur. The Supreme Lord smiled and gave answer. O demigod, those who approach me for material things are definitely foolish. And all the demigods hanging their heads because that's them. Those who approach me for material assets and not for the welfare of the soul are definitely called misers, criponers. They do not know the ultimate goal of life or the necessity of the soul. If one awards that which is desired by fools, he must also be considered foolish. So all the demigods, a little squirming, how much embarrassing to be chastised by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, I know everything. If you want relief, you must approach the great sage, Dadichi. Dadichi will grant you his body, his bones, in charity. From the bones of Dadichi Muni, you can make the bhajra, the thunderbolt, and with that bhajra, which is empowered by the austerities of Dadichi Muni, you will be able to kill Vritasur. I advise you to approach the great soul, Dadichi. He has become very accomplished in knowledge, vows, and austerities. His body is very strong. Go and ask him for his body without delay. Therefore, all the demigods went to Dadichi. Dadichi will give you the Narayan Kavacha, the perfected protective shield made by the names of the Lord. By receiving both the Narayan Kavacha and the bhajra from the bones of Dadichi, you will be very powerful. This thunderbolt will definitely kill Britasur because it is invested with my personal potency. Therefore, how much selfish are the demigods at the end of the day? The demigods went to Dadichi, and the rule in the Vedic system is when a guest comes to your house, you must give him whatever you want. All the demigods came to the house of Dadichi. Yes, how I can serve you? The demigod said, please give us your body. Therefore, Dadichi smiled. He said, "Oh, demigods." Actually, he was joking with them. Demigods could not understand. "Oh, elevated demigods, at the time of death, a severe, unbearable pain takes away the consciousness of the living entity. Do you not know the pain experienced by the death? Therefore, since you know that this body is temporary and given at great expense, who would be prepared to give their body for others, even if it were demanded by the Lord himself?" The Dichi is making a joke. The demigods became a little embarrassed. "O exalted Brahmana, we have heard that perfected souls maintain their bodies for the benefit of others." Hint, hint, if you're really a perfected soul, then give us your body. "Great souls never demand anything for themselves. They can give anything for the benefit of others, including their own bodies. Those who are too self-interested beg something from others, not knowing of the pain that person will experience. But still, he who knows the beggar's difficulty but does not give charity, he must be considered a miser." The Dichi smiled. "O devas, just to hear religious principles from your mouth, I gave some arguments. Therefore, I must give this body to you today because I will lose it today, the day after tomorrow anyway, by the force of time." So Guru Maharaj says, the Dichi, he smeared sugar and yogurt on his body, and the cows came. Cows have a very rough tongue. The cows began licking him, and they licked him to death, and his bones were left. The demigods took the bones of the Dichi to the architect of the demigods called Vishvakarma. Vishvakarma made the thunderbolt, the Bajra, and gave it to Indra. They received the Narayan Kavacha, which is a mantra of the protective names of the Supreme Lord. Like when we put tilak in the morning, we also perform a shortened version of the Narayan Kavacha. What is it? Do you know that mantra? Tilakam. Is there one? Huh? Say the whole thing loudly. Keshavaya Narayana Nama, Vasudeva Nama. Like this. In the morning when we put tilak, we are meant to chant the names of the Lord. Therefore, our armor has a few holes. Madhyasoda also, when Krishna was saved from Putana, in order to purify him, she bathed him in Panchagavya, the five ingredients from the cow. She also chanted, "May Damodar protect his stomach, may Narayan protect his forehead, may Keshav protect his chest." All the names of the Lord she chanted as protective mantras for Krishna. Therefore, the Dichi said, this body which is edible by dogs and jackals does not actually do any good for me at all. Therefore, he gave up that body. And Indra, equipped with the Bajra, the thunderbolt from the bones of the Dichi, and the Narayan Kavacha, the protective names of the Lord, he appeared before Britasura, ready for battle. Indra came surrounded by the host of the devas. Indra shone so brilliantly that he appeared like a second sun. His effulgence was intolerable for the demons. Many hundreds and thousands of demons, demi-demons, yakshas, rakshas, all had appeared, armed with many different types of weapons, and they had a huge battle there with the demigods. Thus they began to use bad words to each other, and a huge fight began there. The demigods, empowered by the Lord, began to defeat the demons. The demons, being defeated, began to run here and there because their prowess had been taken away by the demigods. Seeing his army broken and all the asuras, even great heroes, fleeing from the battlefield out of great fear, Britasura smiled and began to laugh. "Oh," and he called out to his friends, the demons, "O Viprachiti, O Namuchi, O Puloma, O Maya, O Sambara, please hear me and do not run away. All living entities in this world are death is born along with their birth. Surely no one in this world has ever found a way to save themselves from death. Therefore, what can you gain by running from the battle? If you die on the battlefield, you will achieve the higher planetary systems. Who is there that would save their body by fleeing from the battlefield? There are two ways to meet a glorious death. One is by the perfection of yoga, at the time of death, to think of the Supreme Lord. And the other one is to die in the battlefield. So definitely the demons will not be taking the first type of glorious death. Therefore, these two types of death are recommended in the scriptures. To leave one's life in yogic perfection, or to leave one's life on the battlefield. Therefore, the demons were so much disturbed by fear they began to run, and the demigods began to kill the demons from the back. Britasura began to laugh. O demigods, these demons are like stool, having taken birth from the wombs of their mother uselessly. What is the use in killing them? If you want to fight, fight me. O demigods, do not be proud. For a moment, just stand here before me. That time Britasura became very angry. He roared with a loud voice and all the demigods fell unconscious as if struck by a thunderbolt. As the demigods closed their eyes in fear, Britasura began to tramp them beneath his feet like an elephant tramps a field of bamboo. That time Indra took the lead. He threw his mighty club at Britasura. Britasura caught it with his left hand. That's the hand that you wipe your backside with. What a great sign of disrespect. He struck the elephant of Indra, Airavata, on the head. Indra's elephant was pushed back 14 paces and fell on the ground. That time Indra, Britasura, as the perfect gentleman, gave his club back to Indra. Indra was so much ashamed he would not take the club. That time Indra and the elephant waited patiently. That time, laughing very loudly, Britasura called, "Oh, killer of a brahmana, or one who has disrespected his own spiritual master, it is by great good fortune that you are here before me now. O most abominable one, when I pierce your head with my trident, I will be free from the debt that I owe my brother Britasura. You are so much low-class fellow, only for the sake of living in the heavenly planets, only for the sake of your own enjoyment, you killed my elder brother who is a self-realized, perfected Brahman. Thus, you are like a butcher. In the same way, I will take your heads from your shoulders." Indra, Sri Hri Daya Kriti Bi Ujahitim Matvam Swam Karamana Purusadai Sachagaryam. O Indra, you are bereft of all shame, all mercy, all glory, and all good fortune. Thus, when I pierce your body with my trident, even fire will not touch you. You will become a meal for the dogs. But if, on the other hand, I shall be killed in this battle, then I will have the great fortune to offer my body to the service to other living entities. Understand? That time my body will not be cremated. I will lie on the ground. And I can get a chance to serve the other living entities like dogs and jackals. And if my body touches this earth, I may have the great fortune to receive the foot dust of great saints like Narad Muni. O King of the demigods, why you are not fighting? Isn't Indra even had no faith in the words of the Supreme Lord? The Supreme Lord said, if you use this thunderbolt, then you will kill Britasura. But Indra had a doubt. But Britasura had no doubt because he had faith in the Lord. O Indra, useless fellow, why you are not using your thunderbolt against me? Don't think the thunderbolt will be useless like your club. You have the blessings of the Supreme Lord. He has already guaranteed your victory, Prem. Therefore, you should fight. Indra, your victory is already guaranteed. Therefore, you should use your thunderbolt. Therefore, by the force of your thunderbolt, my head will be severed, and I can think of Lord Sankarshan and achieve the great destination, all perfection. Thus I will follow in the footsteps of great sadhus like Narad Muni. Persons who fully surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always think of his lotus feet are recognized by the Lord as his own surrendered servants. Therefore I am not afraid of death, I'm very much looking forward to it. Aham haris tava padeka mole dasanu dasa bhuvatam subuye mana smanateshu pategunam scha griniteva karma karotu mana. So these are famous prayers by Britasura. Aham haris teva padeka mole dasanu dasa bhuvatam subuye. O Indra, you should kill me. I only have one desire. Dasanu dasa bhuvatam subuye. I only have a desire to become a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also had this mood to become a servant, Prabhupada used to say, 1,000 times removed. They asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are you? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the same answer as Vritasur. Naham bipro na cha narapati na api vaishya na sudro naham bani na cha grihatapati. Mahaprabhu said, I am not a sannyasi. I am not a brahmachari, a grihastha, or vanaprasthi. I am not a brahman, a sudra, a kshatriya, or a vaishya. Then someone will say, well, who are you? Because there is nothing left. You are not in the vana ashram. Then Mahaprabhu said, kintu pradana kilam puram rita panam ritabda gopir bata padakamalo dasar dasanudas. Mahaprabhu said, I have no material designation. I am simply a servant of the servant of the servant of the beloved of the gopis, Sri Krishna. That we do not, Charles, we do not directly try to aspire to become a servant of Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavatam, Yeta mad bhakta tatejana, nata mad bhakta tatejana, mad bhaktanam cha ye mad bhakta sita mad bhakta mataha. Krishna says to Uddhava, one who calls himself my servant, Uddhava, is not my servant. But one who calls himself a servant of my servant, he is my real servant. So this is our identity. We do not like to become servants of Krishna directly. We like to become the servants of the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna. It's very important to get the idea we must serve God under the guidance of his devotees. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he went to South India, the local devotee said, Gurudev, would you like to meet one Vaishnav? He is a great devotee of Lord Ram. He's such a great devotee of Lord Ram, he was run over by a train. And even when his legs were cut off, he was chanting Ram, Ram, Ram. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I'm always happy to meet the Vaishnavas. So that man came. He was chanting the holy name. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked him, under whose guidance are you serving Lord Ram? Are you serving under the guidance of Sita, or Hanuman, or Satrughna, or Bharat, or Dasarath Maharaj, or Kausalya, Lakshman? Under whose guidance are you serving Ram? He said, no. I'm not under anyone's guidance. I am directly concerned only with Lord Ram himself. Then Srila Saraswati Thakur said, my friend, you have no bhakti at all. If one cannot serve under guidance, then that service is not called service. It's completely useless. For example, who would conserve Krishna more than Radhika? No one. It's impossible. Can you push Radharani out of the way? No, I'll do the aarti today. Not possible. No one can serve more than Radharani. Therefore, we want our service to be perfect, we should simply serve under the guidance of Radharani. Or what she needs for the service of Krishna, we can arrange that. We should not think I am also so great that I will serve Radharani directly. Prem sits straight. I should serve as those who serve Radhika, like Rupa Manjari. I'm not so qualified that I'll serve Rupa Manjari directly, otherwise I'm pushing Raghunath Goswami out of the road. No. Therefore, we should choose to become a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Therefore, Britasura prayed like this. Aham haris tava padeka mule dasanu dasa bhuvatam subuye. Hey Lord, when again will you accept me as the servant of your servant's servant? If I can become a servant of the devotees, what will happen? Manas marateshu. Automatically, my mind will always think of you. Pate gunamste. My tongue will always chant your glories. My body, mind, and words will always be used for your service if I can get the service of the Vaishnavas. Nanakaprestam na cha paramestam na savabomam na charasadi patyam na yoga siddhi na puvabhavams cha samanjasaya virahaya kangshi. This is famous. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also prayed. Nadanam najanam na sundarim kavitam vajagadishakamaya mama janmani janmasvati bhavadat bhakti ahoiti tvai. This is the standard of ruchi, taste, when someone can pray like this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nadanam, I don't want wealth. Najanam, family members, disciples, Nasundarim, or a beautiful woman to enjoy it. Or for ladies, beautiful man. Kavitam, I don't want material learning. But Jagadisha Kamaya, O Ishwara, O Krishna, I don't want anything. Even I don't want to become free from birth and death. If Krishna wants me to take birth again for his grave reasons, I'll take birth again very happily for his service. Hey Krishna, I don't want anything. Only janame jami rati dama padnahi kaho badadam. Hey Prabhu, birth after birth, I only want one thing. What's that, Jayasri? Bhagavad Bhakti. Unmotivated devotional service to the Supreme Lord Krishna. And just in the following the footsteps of Mahaprabhu, Britasura prays like that. Na naka prestam nacha paramamameshtam. Hey Krishna, I'm not interested in becoming, O source of all opportunities. Krishna gives you whatever you want. Nanaka Prashtam, I'm not interested in becoming, going to the heavenly planets, or even becoming in charge of Dhruvaloka. Nacha Padameshtam, I'm not interested in becoming Brahma, or achieving the planet of Lord Brahma, the topmost heavenly planet. Na Savabhaumam, Nacha Rasadipatyam. I'm not interested in becoming king of this earth, nacharasadipatyam, or becoming king of the rasatal, the subterranean heavenly planets. Na yoga siddhi, na puvabhavamscha. I'm not interested in yogic perfection. I'm not interested in becoming freedom from birth and death, if it means I have to forget you. So he's asking for the benediction of constant remembrance of Krishna. Hey Krishna, ajata paksha eva mataram kagaha. I want to think of you like a baby bird. A baby bird cannot do much, has no feathers. Therefore, hopeless in the nest, the baby bird completely depends on the mother and thinks of the mother 24 hours a day. When mother will come, when mother will come. The baby bird has no other thinking. But then Britasura became angry with himself. What useless prayer. Because the baby bird, why he's remembering the mother, Madhu? Huh? He wants the worm. Therefore, his remembrance of the mother bird is not pure because he wants some business. Worm business. Therefore, stanyam yata vatsara kshuda ata. Then higher than thinking of Krishna is chanting his name. Who chants the name? I want to chant the holy name like a calf chants for the mother. Batsara means calf, isn't it? When the mother goes to the pastures, the baby calf is tied and humba, humba, humba. That means he's chanting with all day with such enthusiasm. Meh. Sorry, that's a goat, isn't it? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Therefore he's chanting the holy. I want to chant the holy name with a mood of separation. And he thought, but this is also motivated. Why is the calf chanting the name of the mother? Because he wants something, some milk. Therefore, he rejected that also. This is also motivated. Priyam priyameva. Yushatum mishana. I want the relationship like a woman thinks not of her husband, but of her priyatam. Her boyfriend. What's another word? Paramour lover. Therefore, Guru Maharaj says, and this comes the mood of the gopis. Thinking of Krishna but not being married to Krishna, they always have that relationship. Therefore, Guru Maharaj said, the prayers of Britasura are so high class because finally in the Bhagavatam, the mood of the gopis is mentioned. Therefore, Britasura prays, Mamutama shloka janesesu sakyam samsara chakra brahmata sukarmaha. Tvan mayata atmaraja daru geheshu asakta chitasya na na tabuyat. Hey Krishna, give me the benedictions. Mam uttama shloka. Hey uttam shloka, Krishna, who are glorified by the choice words of the Vedas. Janesu sakyam. What benediction I want from you? I want to become friends with your devotees. Janesu sakyam. Okay, Janava, what's wrong? Janesu sakyam. Hey Krishna, I want sakiras with your devotees. Like, we serve Guru, it's true in the mood of Dasya, but still, when that Dasya becomes very thick, then we can think of Gurudev as my friend, my Saka. Samsara chakra brahmataya buye. Hey Krishna, wherever I move in this ocean of birth and death according to my own karma, then I want only one benediction. Let my mind be attached only to you. Britasur Maharaj ki jai. Then Indra was astonished. How? He is a big fat demon, but he is offering such wonderful prayers. Then Indra thought, anyway, get on with business. Indra had a fight with Britasur. He took up his thunderbolt, cut off the right hand of Britasur. Then strike two, he cut off the left arm of Britasur. But Britasur was such a great hero, he knew he would die, but he was very happy to die. Then I can go back to Godhead, back to Krishna. With his mind thinking of the Lord, then Britasur had no arms, no legs. Therefore he moved forward on his chin and swallowed Indra. Means don't give up. When he swallowed Indra, he thought, now Indra is dead, I have digested him. Therefore, no need to stay in this world anymore. And Britasur, by his yogic, by his bhakt devotion, he left the world and went back to Godhead. But Indra was not dead inside this gastric juices of Britasur, because he was covered by the Narayan Kavacha, the protective armor of Indra. Therefore, Indra gave himself a reverse cesarean by cutting out of the stomach of Indra, of Britasur. Then he went to cut off the head of Britasur. Britasur, because he had gone into trance thinking of the Lord, his neck became very stiff. So it took 1 year for Indra to cut off the head of Britasur. And finally, Britasur was completely finished. Sukadev Goswami is telling this whole history to Parikshit Maharaj. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj became most astonished. He said, how is it possible that Britasur, he is a big demon. Demons are completely controlled by passion, by ignorance, lust, greed, anger, envy. Demonic persons may be very materially exact and perfect, but they have many bad qualities. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj was most astonished. Oh, Gurudev, most learned Brahman, demons are generally most sinful, being obsessed with passion and ignorance. How could then a demon like Britasur attain such exalted love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offer such wonderful prayers? Demons situated in the mode of ignorance are completely contaminated with the dust of material enjoyment. How could they ever think to render pure, unmotivated service to Mukunda? In other words, how could he have become such a great devotee? Muktinam, apasidanam, rajobhi sama sankhyata. In this material world, there are millions and millions of living entities. But amongst them, very few are human beings. And amongst those human beings, very few follow religious principles. Amongst those who follow religious principles, most only follow by mouth. I'm a Muslim, I'm a Christian, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Hindu, but they never do anything. Therefore, amongst those who follow religious principles, only very few desire liberation. And out of those who desire liberation, only very few achieve liberation. And amongst those who achieve a liberation, to find a pure devotee of Lord Narayana is very rare. Muktanam abhisidanam narayana parayana sudulabha prashantatma kotas api mahamuni. Out of millions of perfect and liberated souls, there may be only one devotee of Lord Krishna. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami became very happy. Richard Marge said, and also Brontosaurus in the middle of a huge fight. How could he have such pure intelligence to always be remembering Krishna like that? How could such a great demon become so perfectly Krishna conscious? O Gurudev, these contradictions have caused me great doubt. I am very eager to hear the life story of Vritasura. Shisuka Dev Ubacha, Sukadev Goswami said, O Parikshit, listen, I have heard this history from my own guru, Vyasadev. Please listen with attention. In his previous life, Vritasura was the great king Chitraketu. Chitraketu was the ruler of the whole earth planet. He was very much desirous of a son, therefore he married. That wife could produce no son. She was barren, therefore he married again. He didn't kick the other wife onto the street, he kept her. He married again. She could also have no child. He married again, strike three, strike four, strike five, strike 10 million. He married 10 million different women, but by the arrangement of providence, he could not have a child. Thus, Chitraketu had 10 million wives, and although he was capable of producing children, he did not receive a child from any of his wives because they were barren. Thus, Chitraketu, despite having beauty, youth, magnanimity, education, high family, wealth, and opulence, he was still unhappy because he could not have a son. His queens were all very attractive and youthful, but because he could not receive a son by them, he did not receive any happiness by associating with them. Sometimes we see people have everything but still not satisfied, because uncontrolled mind and senses. One time I read, there was an English lord. So he was hiding behind the kitchen door and was listening to what the maid servants were talking about. And one of the girls said, if I had 10 pounds, I'd be the happiest girl in the world. So that man said, I'd like to see the face of the happiest girl in the world. So he gave her 10 pounds. And she was happy. He went outside the door and listened, and she was crying, why I didn't ask for 20 pounds. So one cannot control his mind and senses. Even if they have everything, they are still not satisfied. At that time, by his own mercy, the great sage Angira Rishi appeared there. Chitraketu, as the ideal king, immediately stood up and respected the saint, offered pranam, offered his whole kingdom to the Angira Rishi, washed his feet, drank the water, sprinkled the foot bathing water on his family members, restraining his mind and senses. King Chitraketu sat at the feet of that great sage Angira, the son of Lord Brahma, bent low in humility. Angira Rishi, out of his compassion, inquired, O king, I hope that your body and mind is okay. Are your royal associates, your ministers, your citizens, your tax collectors, are they cooperating with you? You must be very happy. That time, Chitraketu said, O King Chitraketu, Angira Rishi said, I can see by your face that you are not completely satisfied. You seem not to be happy. You seem not to have achieved your goal. Has your unhappiness been caused by yourself, or has it been caused by others? Your pale face reflects your anxiety. I am very much anxious to know. What do you need? Thus, Chitraketu said, Gurudev, you know where everything inside and outside of conditioned souls like me, but out of your compassion you are asking me. As a perfect soul, you know everything. But you should know, like a hungry man cannot be satisfied by a flower garland. Imagine if Goswami was very much hungry, he hadn't eaten for 5 days, he comes to the temple and we give him a flower garland. Would he be happy? In the same way that a man tortured by hunger and thirst is not satisfied by sandalwood paste or by a flower garland. In the same way, Gurudev, because I have no son, I can find no happiness by my wives, my opulence, my kingdom, my treasury, or anything. O great sage, please save me from my anxiety, my suffering. I have no progeny. Therefore, please be merciful to me and give me a son. If Anguirda Rishi could understand, he has too many material desires, he cannot hear my instructions. Saraswati Srila Saraswati Thakur said that when the Bhagavatam is recited, those persons who have too many material ideas, they find the Bhagavatam a great source of boredom. Jai. You should bring your sleeping bag for the class. Because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's no topics of material enjoyment, therefore they feel bored and they run. Because King Chittaketu had too many material plans, his mind was already fixed on something else. Therefore, no matter how many, Anguirda Rishi never gave him any instructions. Prahlad Maharaj says the same thing. Adanta gobir visitamti mishram punapunas chavita chavananam. Someone whose mind and senses are uncontrolled, they cannot be, their inclination towards Krishna cannot be awoken by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of the both. Therefore, King Chittaketu, his mind was obsessed by material thoughts. Therefore, Anguirda Rishi, as the ideal guru, he remained silent. He did not say anything. So the Trivikrama Maharaj used to say, when we give a lecture, we should look at the qualification of the audience and speak according to their qualification. Maharaj used to joke, you are talking to him about Manjari Bhava, and all that fellow is thinking is, when can I get married? Will he listen to your words? He'll never listen. If Anguirda Rishi giving this lesson, we should look at the qualification of the audience when we speak. Anguirda Rishi could understand everything. Therefore, he asked the Brahmin Twasta Rishi. Again, Twasta Rishi is there. Perform a sacrifice, some sacrifice, they cook sweet rice on it. If you eat that sweet rice, apparently you produce a child. Thus, Chittaketu Maharaj gave the remnants of sacrifice that came by the blessing of Anguirda Rishi. And by eating that sweet rice, his first wife, Kritadyuti, became pregnant. So remember, we've been talking again and again in the Bhagavatam. If you have a material desire, Guru and Krishna will fulfill your desire in such a way that you will never ask for it again. Therefore, in all these persons who achieve mercy in the Vaishnavas, we see one thing. They had nishtha. But their nishtha was in a material thing. But still, because at least they had nishtha fixed in one thing, they could easily achieve the mercy of Gurudev and the Vaishnavas. Like Bilva Mangal Thakur. Bilva Mangal Thakur was so much obsessed to visit the prostitute Chintamani, he became completely oblivious to everything else. Therefore, he easily got the mercy of Krishna. Chittaketu was so much obsessed by having a son, he married 10 million women. Because he had that complete one fixed absorption in something, he could easily get the mercy of Gurudev and the Vaishnavas. Therefore, Chittaketu became very happy. Gurudev kripa bindu diya kodo vedase. Some of us think that's the mercy of Guru and Krishna when our material desires are not fulfilled. But like an expert doctor treats the disease in such a way that disease will never come back, Guru and Krishna will treat your material disease, your material desire, in such a way that disease will never come back. And Anguirda Rishi gave the sweet rice and said, you will have a son, you should name him Sokaharish. He will cause you great happiness and great lamentation. And without explaining why, he disappeared. Chittaketu didn't care. He had his goal. The wife ate the magic sweet rice. She became pregnant. The child was born. So just like a miser, when he accumulates wealth, how carefully he keeps it, with how much attention he keeps it. Imagine after 10 million wives, Rishabdev finally get a son, Prabhu. How much he was ecstatic, how much affection he gave to that son, we cannot imagine. He gave his body, mind, and words, and soul, everything he gave in affection to his son and to the wife who produced the son. What happened to the other 9,999,999 queens? They became nuts. Like a person possessed by a ghost or a person possessed by a fever, how can we also have a son? Because the king never even looks at us anymore. The queens began to lament, "Alas, if we had become at least sweeper women, at least the king looks at the women who clean the bedrooms, who wash the pots. At least he talks to them and looks at them. The king never even looks at us." Therefore the queens became envious. "The cause of all our suffering is this little brat. This boy is the cause of all our suffering. Where there's no fire, there's no smoke. They conspired to kill that boy." Envious, no? Therefore they gave, "Come here, little Sokahash." They gave him a poison sweet. And Sokahash died. In the morning, the king and queen were oblivious to all this. In the morning, Queen Kritaduti came down. "Oh, my darling boy." Sorry, the nursemaid came. "Oh, my boy, wake up, wake up." When she came to the boy, she looked. Some foam was on his mouth. His eyes were turned into the back of the head. That time, the maidservant began. She said, "Now I am also doomed." And she fell on the ground. Why? Who's going to blame her? Who will be blamed for the death of the son? She will be blamed. Therefore she fell on the ground. "Now I am doomed." When Kritaduti came, she heard the crying. She came and saw her son was dead. Queen Kritaduti began to beat her forehead and beat her breasts and weeping. Indeed, her weeping sounded like the cry of the Kurari bird. Very pitiful. Her dress and her hair became disarrayed. She fell on the ground like a banana tree cut by a hurricane, by a storm. Hearing the crying of the queen, all asked, "What's happened? So the prince is dead." They also began to weep and lament. The 9,999,999 stepwives, also chilly in the eye. Poor little Sokahash. When King Chitraketu heard the news, "Your son is dead by unknown causes," he became almost mad in lamentation. Weeping, weeping, he was running towards his son, and every few steps he would fall on the ground unconscious and again raise himself. Again weeping, he would come forward. Again he would fall. The dress and hair of the king was scattered. He was breathing heavily. He was weeping. He could not speak. The queen was like that. All the queens were like that. All the ministers, all the servants of the palace, all the citizens were weeping bitterly. The queen began to lament, "Oh, foolish Siddhartha. Oh, foolish Lord, how much you are cruel. You are like a small child who builds a castle in the sand and then breaks it for no reason. The rule is that who has made this rule that the son will die before the father?" She began to criticize God. Many people blame God. "If God is so good, why do bad things happen to me?" "Because you deserve it, that's why." We did a television interview, Ramchandra, in New York. And the television interview was very aggressive. "Are you saying that people born blind, born poor, born deformed because they deserved it?" And I shouted, "Yes! They deserve it. They get what's coming to them. You cannot blame anyone else. The Supreme Lord is neutral. He just gives the result of your own activity." Thus the queen was weeping, her mascara was running down her face. And that great lamentation was like a roar. The queen was crying, "My dear boy, don't go. Don't go to Yamaraj, the abode of death. Don't go. We cannot live without you. My dear son, wake up. Suck my breast milk. My dear son, your friends are waiting for you to play. You must be very hungry. Wake up, wake up. I am most unfortunate, my son. I cannot see you again. You have closed your eyes forever and left your unfortunate mother. My dear son, I can no longer hear your pleasing voice." Thus King Chitraketu was weeping with an open mouth. Ah! At that time, the great sadhu, Angira Rishi, returned to the palace accompanied with his friend, Narad Muni. Immediately Angira said, "Oh fool, king, what relation you have with this dead body? And what relation does this dead body have with you? Is that relationship true now? Was it true in the past? Will it be true in the future? As particles of sand are brought together by the tide and then separated, in the same way living entities are brought together and separated by the force of time. O foolish king, why are you weeping for this? The original source master. Angir Rishi Maharaj Ki Jai. Therefore the words of sadhu are not meant to flatter us. Angira, the job of the guru is not to please the mind and senses of the disciple. The job of the spiritual master is to cut your material attachments and take you back to the spiritual world. Therefore, Sri Saraswati Thakur said, the disciples come before this Vaishnav with thousands of material desires, thousands of faults, which are like a cancer. How do you cut out a cancer? By blowing on it? Forget it. You surgically remove it. In the same way, the spiritual master removes our faults, removes our unwanted, unfavorable material desires with the scalpel of unpleasant language. Therefore, shastra. Scripture means astra. Astra means that which cuts. So the words of the spiritual master, which are also shastra, are designed to cut our attachment. That cutting may be painful, but at the end you'll feel relief. Saraswati Thakur tells a nice history in his Upateshavali. There was one boy with a big boil. Therefore, he went to the doctor. The first doctor was blowing on the boil. Because boil is so much burning that the boy felt much, oh, good doctor, he thought. But the mother, who was experienced, realized this doctor is a fool. She took him to another doctor, and the doctor, they held him down. The doctor took a big scalpel. The boy began crying, ah! Crazy doctor, I like the first doctor. And the boy was fighting, he's trying to kill me, he used to be my friend, the doctor, now he's my enemy. The boy was crying. Did the doctor listen? The doctor is experienced doctor, he kept on cutting. Therefore sometimes, when Gurudev puts us on the operation table, in the form of very harsh language, harsh behavior, you don't get off in the middle of an operation and run away. Just stay there. The guru is an expert doctor. He is treating you harshly or speaking harshly out of his affection for you. It means he is cutting away some inebriety, some material desire. The Vangiri Rishi was not thinking, oh, if I speak nicer, the king will give me a big donation. Sri Saraswati Thakur said, if I become a flatterer of the audience, if I speak nicely just to please their mind and senses, but do not speak the truth, what will happen to me? I'll end up becoming an atheist because I won't be believing in the real words of the scripture. I'll become self-interested and I'll go myself. While I'm trying to save others from the ocean of birth and death, I'll go back there myself. Ready, Haridas? Just like someone who doesn't know swimming, he jumps in and tries to save someone else who doesn't know swimming, what will happen? Both will go down. The same way the spiritual master is not a flatterer of the disciples. The spiritual master is the well-wisher. That well-wishing manifests in the form of very pertinent instructions. One time I remember Srila Trivikramaj was there. One man came in his room in Navadvip. Srila Trivikramaj began to shout at him. You are completely backwards. You are a foolish fellow. I have never met a donkey like you. You are such a rascal. You have come here in Navadvip with your wife. You have come here just to enjoy. You have not come here to serve. Get out of my room. I don't want anything to do with you. And the man was shaking like this. And he ran away. And Maharaj was laughing. You know who he was? No. He's a multimillionaire. Because I don't need anything from him, I always just speak as I like. And Trivikramaj said, can Narayan Maharaj do like that? He cannot do. Only I can do like that. The idea is very deep. If the spiritual master wants some material benefit from the disciples, then he'll flatter them. Oh, it doesn't matter if you have 10 wives, it's all right. Conditioned soul, it's a natural thing. No. The spiritual master, the real spiritual master, doesn't need anything for the disciples, therefore he always gives exact instruction. Angira Rishi was not thinking, well, Chittaketu is the king. If I did a little massage his false ego, do the funeral ceremony, give him another son with my next batch of sweet rice. Imagine that. I'll give another batch of sweet rice for 10 million rupees. No. Divine Gita Rishi is ideal spiritual master. Oh, foolish king, what relation do you have with his dead body? That relation is not real. It's not real now. Nityananda, it's not real in the past. It will not be real in the future. Hey, king, just like some seeds are put in the ground, some seeds sprout, other seeds do not sprout. Just like grains of sand come together and are separated by force of time, this is the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. What can you do about it? Therefore, king, you should not lament over this artificial relationship you have with this body, because everything is ultimately controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form as time. Therefore, vayam cha tvam cha yem chem ye tulya kulyas chara chara janma mritu yatha pashat prana naivam aduna pibo. Hey, king, you, me, the ministers, your wives, everyone in this world, everything moving and non-moving, are in a temporary situation. The situation that we are right now in this second is not eternal. It will pass into the past. Therefore, king, why are you lamenting for that which has not been changed? Even though everyone in this world has a temporary situation, that situation is not false. That time, that king became most astonished. He wiped his tears from his face and asked, "Who are you two? I cannot understand you." The king was so mad he couldn't even recognize Angira Rishi, the man who gave him the son in the first place. "Who are both of you? I cannot understand you." I think that sometimes Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, the most dear servants of Krishna, dress like madmen. Who else would wear a pink bedsheet in public? Sometimes, in order to remain disguised to the materialistic persons, they adopt the dress of madmen. "Who are you? Are you Sanakumar, Narad, Angira, Devala, Asit, Vyasadeva, Markandeya, Vyas, Yagyavalka, Aruni, Chavan, Datatreya, Patanjali? Amongst all of these great sages, who are you?" Then, "You are great personalities. I am fallen in ignorance like a village animal." Village animal means like a hog eating stool, because I am eating the stool of material enjoyment. "Therefore, I am like foolish, like a village animal. I am like a pig or a dog, merged in ignorance. Therefore, please be kind to me and light the torch of knowledge within my heart." Chitraketu has so many qualifications. What's his qualification? We cannot even pray like that to Gurudev. How many of us can really fall at the feet of the spiritual master weeping, "I am like a hog, stool eater"? We cannot. Chitraketu is the king of the whole world, but how much humility he now has. How much he is aware of his situation. Then when we pray to the Guru, we pray to that. Omagyan timarandasya gananjana salakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai sri guruve namaha. I offer obeisances to the spiritual master who removed the darkness of ignorance by giving me the torch of knowledge. How does he give us the torch of knowledge, Charles? Do you give him a 50-buck check and he zaps you on the forehead? No. You give him $100, he gives you a secret mantra that no one else has, but afterwards you find out he sold the same mantra to all the disciples anyway? No. The spiritual master doesn't zap you with a secret mantra, nor does he do Reiki on you, nor does he check your astrology chart. Spiritual master gives us knowledge by Harikata, by speaking. Therefore, Angira Rishi said, "King, you cannot recognize me. I'm the same Angira who came before, and this is Narad, the most worthy son of Brahma. Oh, king, you are a great personality. How you have fallen into this material illusion, I cannot understand. It is most unsuitable for a person like you to emerge in this much lamentation. For those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge, to be affected by material loss or gain is not correct." That time, "When I first came to your house, I could have given you the same transcendental knowledge, But when I saw that your mind was absorbed only in material things, I gave you a son who would cause you happiness and lamentation. Actually, the happiness he felt when his son who was born, that was lamentation. And the weeping he experienced after, that was happiness. Because by that weeping, he can get spiritual instruction. Therefore, Narad Muni, he said, now you are directly experiencing the suffering that comes through attachment to wife, children, and wealth. That time, Narad Muni, O King, consider carefully who you are. Are you the body? Are you the mind? Or are you the soul? Consider where you have come from, where you are going after you give up this body, and why you are now under the control of matter. Try to understand your real position, and then you will give up your unnecessary attachment, and you will also give up belief in this material world. That time, Angiri Narad Muni touched the dead body of the boy. Angry Rishi called, my dear son, wake up. Your parents are here. Your friends are waiting for you. Come and play. Enjoy the balance of your life in happiness. Enjoy the kingdom of your father. That time the dead boy, by the mystic potency of Narad Muni, came to life. The dead boy said, father, mother, who is my father and mother? Millions and millions of mothers and fathers I have had. I cannot actually understand who is my real mother and father. Jaya. He's completely asleep. It's all right, don't look. The boy said, I cannot understand who is my mother and father. The living entity is like a piece of gold. Imagine I have a 10-buck note. I give it to Kishore. Then what does Kishore do with it? He goes and buys him milkshake, then the $10 becomes the owner of the shopkeeper. Shopkeeper gives it to his son. That boy buys something else. That $10 is moving. I cannot say, oh, that $10, I cannot go to the shopkeeper, that $10 is mine, I gave it to Kishore. In the same way, the living entity is like a piece of gold that's transferred from one person to another, to another, to another. The soul is going from one body to another body, to another body, to another body. I do not know who is my mother and father. By the force of my karma, I took birth. Now by the force of my karma, I'm moving to my next body. And that way the son gave knowledge of soul and transformation of the soul to different bodies. And then the son died again. 2 times in one day. Guru Maharaj explains everything. Angira Rishi is so much expert spiritual master. Actually, that sweet rice had no potency to give a son. But Angira Rishi, the spiritual master, he personally manifested himself in the womb of the mother. So that boy who was born, who was it? Angira Rishi, the spiritual master, just to arrange this whole thing for the deliverance of his disciple. Otherwise, the question comes, how can an ordinary boy speak such perfect transcendental knowledge? An ordinary soul cannot speak like that. Therefore, that was Angira Rishi speaking in the form of the dead boy. Angirade Rishi arranged to take birth. He arranged to grow up. He arranged himself to be poisoned. He arranged himself to die. He arranged himself to speak transcendental knowledge. The Guru Maharaj said how much gallons of blood the Guru spends for the deliverance of the disciple. Every disciple should not make the job of the spiritual master more difficult by not doing bhajan. Therefore, Chitraketu, his eyes were completely awoken. Then he approached and Narad Muni gave him mantra, even though Angira Rishi did all the work. ISKCON can learn from that. Angira Rishi never felt jealous. I did everything. I made him his mind. No. Narad Muni is senior, therefore he gave happily. And Narad Muni gave him mantra. King, you chant this mantra. In 7 days, you'll see the Supreme Lord Sankarshan face to face. King Chitraketu, completely devoid of all material attachment, thinking of taking the mercy of his spiritual master, he chanted that mantra. At the end of 7 days, just like his guru had promised, he saw the Lord face to face. By the arrangement of the Lord, King Chitraketu took birth again as a Gandharva. Gandharva are wonderful singers. Therefore, he would move everywhere in the heavenly planets, chanting the name of the Supreme Lord.